Talking about inside today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Beis. We finished off yesterday at the end of the daf. However, we left ourselves in the middle of the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. So just to do a quick summary of where we're holding, back in the middle of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara quoted from the Mishnah, Vo'ishas Ishtoi, a man yarshins his wife. If Chas V'Shalom, a man's wife passes away, he yarshins her. Says the Gemara, how do I know? And the Gemara brought yesterday three rayas. Raya number one was from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, She'eroi. What does it say, She'eroi? If you have the Torah or HaSholem, the Pasuk was, V'im ein achem li'oviv, unesatem es nachlosoi li She'eroi hakorev elav mi'mishpachtoi. And the Gemara says, She'eroi zu ishtoi, like it says in the Pasuk by Omevriya, She'era ksusa v'inosel v'yigra. So we learned from that that She'er is related to Ishus, to being married. Ah, Malamed says the Gemara, remember this is the Brayis, Malamed Shabal Yerush Sishtai. Yochel af hitirishenu. I would think that maybe she also yarshins him. It says in the same Pasuk, V'yoresh oyisa. Hu yoresh oyisa v'ein hi yoreshes oyisai. He, the husband, yarshins his wife, but if chas v'sholem, he passes away, she does not yarshin him. And the Gemara said, but the Pasuk on the surface doesn't really say that, because it said in the Pasuk, Unesatim es nachlosei, lisha'eroi. It sounds like if chas v'sholem a person passes away, a man, a husband passes away, you give the nachla to the she'er. And who's the she'er? The she'er is u ishtoi. So it's not that the husband yarshins from her. The husband, when he passes away, he leaves a Yerusha for her. But that's not the halacha. Because the pasuk continues on, V'yarash oisa. He yarshins her, and she does not yarshin him. V'yarash oisa. Hu yarash oisa, v'ein hi yarashas oisai. So the Gemara gave two terutz in the teretz of Abaya and the teretz of Rava. The teretz of Abaya was that we have to skip over a word and come back to it. It says, Unesatim es nachlosoi. Don't say, Lisha'eroi. No. Unesatim es nachlosoi. Ha'korev elav mi mishpachtoi. Give it to the korev, the one that is closest in relationship to the nifter. And besides that, Lisha'eroi v'yorash oisa. If chas v'sholem, his wife passes away, v'yorash oisa, he yarshins her. Now, of course, that pshat and pasuk is a little bit strained. I don't take myself at liberty to go and say that, but the Gemara says it. Because Rava says, Sakina Harifa Mistaka Kroi. How did you go and take out the word L'she'eroi and place it later on? You're saying, skip L'she'eroi. Unesatim es nachlosoi, L'korev Elav. Go and give the Nachla to the one that's most close. Korev Koidim. And or, L'she'eroi V'yarash Oisa. If Chas V'Sholem, the wife passes away, he yarshins her. So, Rava was not happy with Abaya's pshat, and therefore Rava said, Goyin umaysifin v'dorshin. What was that? We took away the vav from the nachlosoi, we took away the lamid from l'she'eroi, and now the pasuk says, unesatim es nachlas, she'eroi, and now reconstitute the lamid and vav, lohoi. So therefore, if she passes away, unesatim give nachla she'eroi, the nachla of the she'eroi, meaning of the wife, to whom? Loi, to the husband. And you remember we asked the Chayr, that's also taking asakina harifa mifsaka kroi, and the Rishbam already asked that kasha yesterday, and he gave two terutzim which we discussed. But now the Gemara says, v'haytara maise le'mahocha. I'm now on the second wide line, and that is we have yet a third view of the makoyer for this halacha, that Abal Yorish is Ishtoi, and that third view is Rabbi Shmuel. First thing, Mora brings the Sanya, V'yorish Oisa, Malamish Abal Yorish is Ishtoi, Divar Rabbi Kiva. That's the same as the previous Praisa, where it says V'yorish Oisa, Hu Yorish Oisa, Vein Hi Yorish is Oisai. But now Rabbi Shmuel, Oimer, Einoi Tzarech, you don't need to go and play with the words Lisha Eroi, Nachalosoi, Lamed Metavov. No, I have another pasuk altogether. And Rabbi Shmuel now builds a major thesis based on five psukim, one after the other. And we went through the psukim already yesterday quickly, and the Gemara is going to ask, what do you need five psukim for? Why not just one or just two? And that's what we're going to see right now. Rabbi Shmuel Leim Eina Torah Charagayim, it says in the Pasuk, V'chol bas yereshes nachla mimatois b'nei Yisrael. We quoted this Pasuk already yesterday to tell us the din that a daughter also yarshins, not only banim, but also banois, and that a daughter yarshins, that we don't need this Pasuk for, because Ishkiyomus avein einloi vavartim es nachalose levitoi. But that's talking about when a father passes away. How do we know that when a mother passes away, that a daughter yarshins the mother? Oh, because it says in the Pasuk, v'chobas yereshes nachla, any girl who yarshin the nachla, mi matois b'nei Yisrael, from two separate matois. So we said yesterday, that means that a daughter can yarshin both from the mate of viha and the mate ima, from both mateis, from both father and from mother. But let's continue on. What happens? Le'echam mi'mishpachas, v'shteid vayit in the Pasuk, le'echam mi'mishpachas, mate ovia tia li'isha. Under those circumstances, she should go and marry into her father's family and not into her mother's family. And we're going to talk about this at much greater length later in the daf. But what do I see in the meantime? What I see in the meantime is that you can have a basi reshef nachli mimatois b'nei Yisrael, from two separate matois. How could it be that a bas yarshin from two separate matois? Muzach zayin, that you have a husband and wife. The husband was the moshel from Reuven. The wife was the moshel from Shimon. And then Shimon, Nebuch Rachman Litzlon, passed away. Not Shimon, but the lady from Shimon, Nebuch, passed away. The wife passed away. And now the husband yarshins from the wife, and therefore he is now the Baal Nechosim, both from the Reuven family, because he is a Reubenite, as well as from the Shimon family, because he married a Shimonite, he married a lady from Shimon, and now the daughter yarshins from both the father and the mother. Oh, so I see that the husband yarshins from his wife. We're going to talk about this in much greater detail. It says Reb Yishmol Basebis Habal Hakosim Medaber. How is it that the Bas is yarshing from two separate matois? After all, when the wife passes away, says the Gemara, it's the husband that yarshins from the wife, and then subsequently the daughter yarshins from the father and from the mother. In other words, the father passed away, leaving over both his Yerusha and the Yerusha of his late wife. Oh, so we see Basebis Habal Hakosim Medaber, that the Baal is yarshins, but it's even more than that, because the pasuk continues on that after she has possession of Yerusha from both sides, li'echad mi'mishpachas mati avia til isha, in order to keep the Yerusha within the shevet, and it shouldn't keep on shifting from shevet to shevet, she should marry, again assuming that her father was from Reuven, her mother was from Shimon. When she, the daughter, marries, she should marry someone from Reuven to keep all the Yerusha in the Shevet Reuven. What difference does it make who she gets married to? Because Hasebas Habal HaKosim Medaber. When we say the word Hasebas, is because the Gemara quotes the Lashon V'loy Sisoiv, as you'll see the next two Psukim. So it's talking about that the Baal, he takes over the Yerusha from the other Shevet. Oh. So if a lady is from Shimon, her husband is from Reuven, she passes away, Basebis Habal, the husband takes over the Nachla from his wife. Basebis Habal Kosim Adabit. So we see from that Pasuk, that's why it's so important for a girl that has a Nachla to go and marry within her Shevet. Because if she marries out of the Shevet, the Nachla will transfer from her Shevet to the other Shevet. No. So I have a Pasuk that a husband yarshins from his wife. And if you're not happy with that raya, v'oim, I have another pasuk. Be careful, don't allow for nachlis to travel from Shimon to Reuven, or from Don to Osher. every Yerushit should stay within the family, that is, within the same matter. Now, how would it be transferred? By a Reubenite marrying a lady from Shimon, and if she has Nechosim, like the Benoit Tzlovchot, that got a Yerusha from their father, that Neches, those possessions, are going to transfer from Shimon to Reuven. No! Stay within your Shevet, Leisisam Nachla. Oh, so I see, once again, that a husband yarshins from his wife. Oh, is another raya, Bal Yerushas Ishta. The Oyman have another pasuk. Almost the same as the previous pasuk. In fact, the two psukim are almost back to back. There's only one pasuk in between. And both of them say emphatically, keep the nachlois within the matah. Don't let them transfer from matah to matah. How would it transfer? Because a girl from Shimon marries a boy from Reuven, and then the Yerusha, the nachla, would go and transfer from Shimon to Reuven. Oh, so I see that a Baal Yerush is Ishtoi. Another pasuk, the Oimer, the Loz ben Haran Meis, Elozer HaKoin, Elozer was the son of Aharon, Elozer passed away, Elozer's son, of course, is Pinchas, the Yikru Oizer, to give us Pinchas Benoi, and they buried Elozer in, remember Brother Shai said yesterday, in the hills of Pinchas' son. The question is, why are we burying Elozer in the hills of his son Pinchas? Why don't we go and bury Elozer in his own hills? How did Pinchas own anything unless he received the Birusha from Elozer? El Malamich Nosa Pinchas Isha. Pinchas' master married a lady who became known as Mrs. Pinchas, Umeisa, and she passed away. Biyoshin, he arshined from her. Oh, that's the reason why Pinchas has this property, but it was never Elozer's property. So you see once again that a husband can go, and not can, but a husband is Yoyrish the Nachla of his wife. Voiman, I have another Raya, and this is Raya number 5. Uzguv hoiledes Yoyir. Skuv gave birth to Yoyir. Vahi loy. And Yoyir had Esrim v'sholish Orem b'Eretz Agilat. 23 separate cities in Eretz Agilat. Obviously, he was fantastically wealthy that he owned 23 separate cities in Eretz Agilat. And Rishbam says, don't say Vahi loy is referring to Siguv. It's referring to Yoyir. How do I know? Says Rishbam, because look up the psukim there in Divrei Hayamim. And the prior pasuk says, Va'teled loy es Siguv. Siguv was born. It would have been appropriate there to go and say, and Zguv was a wealthy person, but it doesn't say that. It just says, she gave birth to Zguv. Now the next pasuk says, and Zguv gave birth to Yair, Vahiloi. So who had the 23 cities? He, Yair, not Zguv. And again, the same kasha. Frank to Gemara, how did Yair own 23 cities without Zguv's participation? Malamit, Shnosa Yoir Isha. Yoir married his wife, Mrs. Yoir. She came from a well-to-do family. Her father passed away and left a Yerusha for her. There were no other siblings, or at least no other brothers, so she received the Yerusha. And now Yoir married her. Umeis and his wife died. The Yorsha and he, Yoir, Yarshin from his wife. It is the charaya that a husband yarshins from his wife. So Rabbi Shmuel has packed on 5 psukim back to back, all telling us that a husband yarshins from his wife. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, my voimer, if the first pasuk is adequate, what do we need psukim 2 through 5? Just say one pasuk. And therefore the Gemara is going to tell us that none of these 5 is really a concrete raya. Yeah, it makes sense to learn the 5 psukim the way Rabbi Shmuel learned. But it doesn't have to be that. It could be a different shot as well. So let's analyze each pasuk. Why do I have to have pasuk number 2? Because chitein ma besibas haben kokopit kro avubal lo yoris. Let's go back to the first pasuk. First pasuk says that a young lady who has yarshint from her father and from her mother, what should she do? She should go and marry a person from her own shevet, meaning from her father's shevet. By marrying someone from her father's shevet, I don't have to worry that the nachla is going to be transferred from shevet to shevet. It's going to stay within the shevet Reuven. Why would I be concerned that it's going to go out of the shevet Reuven? Because if this lady, let's go back again, the father was, or the man was from Reuven, he married a lady from Shimon, and the lady from Shimon, Baruch Hashem, had already received two nachlois. What two nachlois did she receive? From her father and from her mother. That's the Lashon HaPasuk. Cholabas yereshes nachla mimatois. She received two nachlois, one from her father, one from her mother. Okay, and now she's going to get married. Says the Pasuk, lady, if you happen to be from Shimon, do not marry a Reubenite. Do not marry Osher. Do not marry Dan. Stay within the Shimonites. Don't marry outside of the Shevet. Why am I concerned? Because if she marries outside the Shevet, and now her husband is, and if Chas Shalom, she eventually passes away, and her husband will yarshin from her, he will then thereby take away a Yerusha from her prior Shevet, and bring it into his Shevet. That would be the Hasebis Abal. Oh, is the Haraya that a husband yarshins a wife? Says Yimor, no. Maybe a husband does not yarshin his wife. The concern about the Hasebis Nachla, that the Nachla is going to leave one Shevet and go to the other Shevet, is talking about because of the child. If they have a son, Lamashal, or for that matter, if they have a daughter, what happens if eventually the father and the mother pass away? Then Yerusha is going to go to the children, right? To the son or to the daughter. Okay, so what's going to happen now? If the mommy was Lemoshel from Shevet Shimon, and she had Yerusha, and if the husband was from Shevet Reuven, don't tell me that Reuven yarshins from Shimon. In other words, that the husband yarshins the wife. Maybe not. Maybe the husband did not yarshin the wife. However, the son that is born to them, or for that matter, if there's no son, the daughter that is born to them, is a Reubenite, because her father or his father was from Reuven. So therefore, whatever the Mrs. Reuven brought into the marriage, that's now going to go to the son or to the daughter. So therefore, it's not the Hasebis Abal. Maybe the Baal doesn't yarshin at all from the wife. The reason why you shouldn't have these mixed intermarriages is because if the mother passes away, the son or the daughter will yarshin them. And the son or the daughter are from the father's family. And now you're going to have a Sebas HaBen, then the Nachla is going to transfer from the mommy, who's from Shimon, to the son or the daughter, who are from Reuven. So therefore you have no raya that a husband yarshins his wife. So therefore says Yimar, maybe you're going to tell me that the first pasuk, because he was a ben kokopit kro, avul bal lo yoris. Maybe bal doesn't yarshin. Toshima. That's why I have a second pasuk. Places of nachlof ne yisomi mata lamata. So why we need a second pasuk for? To tell you, not only is there a problem with sibas aben, there's also a problem with sibas bal. Don't marry a husband from a different shevet, because chas v'shalom, when she passes away, her Yerusha, her Nachla, is going to go over to the other Shevet, to the Baal. That's Mimata Lamata. Okay, so that's very good. So now it's good that we have two Psukim. First Pasuk is Sibas HaBaal. I'm sorry, Sibas HaBen. Second Pasuk is Sibas HaBaal. Pray tomorrow, what's the right? V'chitei Malav or Ola B'lav Asay. Maybe both Psukim are talking about Sibas HaBen. So you're wondering, so what do I need two separate Psukim to tell you the same Halacha? I'll tell you why. The first pasuk is telling you an essay. Where do we see the essay? Because it says in the first pasuk, "V'chol bas yereshes nachla mimatis b'nei Yisrael." If you ever have a daughter who has yarshin from her mother, you know what you should do? Li'echad mimishpachas of mati aviyah tili isha. That's an essay. This is a positive statement, positive commandment. You happen to be one of the Bnei Tzlofchad. You've gotten a Yerusha from your father Tzlofchad. Stay within the Shevet. Because if you're going to move out of the Shevet, if you're going to marry somebody else, then the Nachla will transfer. So this pasuk doesn't use the expression loy. It says positively, Li'echad m'mishpachas mati aviyah til isha. Stay within the mat. That's called an aseh. That's why we need a second pasuk, V'loy sisav nachla v'nei Yisrael mimata l'mata. Because if you do marry out of the Shevet, then you're over a lav. So you're wondering, so what difference does it make if you're over an aseh, you're over a lav? Says Rishbam very simply, if you're over an aseh, you don't get malchus. If you're over a lav, you can get petch from Bezdin. Bezdin can go and give you up to 39 lashes. Oh, so that's why I need two psukim. One to tell you an aseh, and one to tell you a lav. If that's the case, Zok to Yomara, Toshima, that's why we have pasuk number 3. Loisisav nachla mimata lemati acher. Obviously, we don't need that for Hasebas Haben, because we already covered the waterfront with an essay, with a lav. So this must be talking about Hasebas Habal. So I have a raya that Baal Yoyresh es Ishrei. Frank Timura, no, Svaita Nishkarai. Maybe the Torah was so concerned about Nachla purity that it remained within the Shevet. The Torah says to a woman that has a Nachla from her father, like the Nois Tzlofchad, don't marry, and don't marry twice to go and tell you Shnei Lavin V'aseh. This is a Dover Chomer, don't take it lightly. Marry within the Shevet. So Vaita, we're talking about Hasebas Haben and not Hasebas Habal. I still don't have a raya that a husband yarshins his wife. The concern might very well be, don't marry outside the Shevet, because if you, the young lady, is a Shimonite and she's going to marry a Reubenite, any child that they're going to have by definition will go after the Mishpachas Av, will be Reuven, and therefore she is going to transfer Nachla from the Shimonites to the Reubenites. Oy, oy, oy. Not because of the husband, but because of the son or the daughter. So right, they don't have a rayim for Yerusha Sabal. Toshima, oh, that's why I have now pasuk number 4. That Eloz ben Aharon makes, and what happened, and they buried Elozar in the Givas Pinchas Benoy, the hills of Pinchas' son. And the Gemara said, how is it possible that the hills belong to Pinchas and not to Elazar? Is the Chassimin that Elazar married a lady from another Mishpacha, and she was a wealthy individual. She passed away. Pinchas yarshened her, and that's why Pinchas was a wealthy individual, and that's why his father Elazar was buried in Givas Pinchas. So I have a raya from the same as Abal, that Abal Yoyrish is Ishtar. Freitim, what's the raya? Freitim Elozer, who the Nosev Itza, who Mesa, the Yoris of Pinchas. It wasn't that Pinchas married a lady and he yarshened her, but rather Elozer married a lady. She passed away. Elozer did not yarshen her because maybe Ein Habal Yoyresh es Ishtoi, the Baal does not yarshin, but rather who yarshined? V'yarsa Pinchas, who's the son, yarshined from his mother. We know that a son yarshins from his mother. We learned that already yesterday. We learned it as a kal v'choymer from Bas, right? By Bas we had v'chobas yoreshes nachlim im matois. The daughter is yarshins from both the father and from the mother, and we said a kal v'choymer to the Ben, because Ben is yofa koychoy by the Av, so certainly he has a Yipur Koyach by the Ben as well, by the Aim as well. It's Zokti Gemara, so I have no raya that we're talking about Yerushas Habal. It could be we're talking about Yerushas Haben. Pinchas got wealthy not because he married someone, but because his mother married his father. His father was Elazar. Elazar's wife was from a rich family. When she passed away, she had a large Yerusha, which did not go to the husband, because maybe Ein Habal Yerusha Sishtai. But Yerusha went to him, to Pinchas. So maybe that's the pshat. Is vaita no raya from pasuk number 4? Is toshimai have a raya from pasuk number 5? Who's guv hoyledes yair? And yair had 23 cities. So Timara, how did yair have 23 cities? Presumably because he married a lady of means. She passed away, and now Skuv went and yarshened from his wife, and that's why he was wealthy, and not his father Skuv. Skuv was of modest means. However, he was zoichet to have a son, Yoir, who married this wealthy lady. And then when Yoir's wife passed away, Yoir yarshened her, and now Yoir owns 23 cities. Ah, so what do I see from this? That a baal Yoirish is ishtay. Pray tomorrow. Let's say the same pshat as we said before, that it wasn't that Yoir married somebody wealthy, it was his father Siguv who married a lady who was wealthy. And the Mrs. Guv unfortunately passed away, and perhaps Ein Habal Yoirish es Ishtoi, so who is the one that's going to Yarshin? Yoir. And that's how Yoir got wealthy, not because of his marriage, but because of his father's marriage, because maybe ain't about Yorish's Ishtoi. So Timur, if you're going to tell me that that's the same pshat by Skuv and Yoir, just like you said by Elozer and Pinchas, in Kain Trey Kroy Lomeli, what do we need two psukim to tell us the same thing? As the Chori, therefore Araya says the Gemara, that in the case of Skuv and Yoir, it wasn't that Skuv married someone, but it was that Yoir married someone. And afterwards that someone passed away, Yoir became wealthy because Baal Yoirish es Ishtoi. So with this we have concluded the Braisa and the five Psukim, and we've explained why we need five Psukim. If we only have Pasuk number 1, I would say it's only by Hasabas HaBen. If we'd only have Pasuk 1 and number 2, I would say it's Hasabas HaBen to teach you both an Esim et Alois Esa. If we'd only have Pasuk 1, 2, and 3, I would say it's talking about Hasabas HaBen, 2 Lavin and 1 Aseh. If we'd only have 4 Psukim, including the Pasuk of Pinchas and his father Elozer, I would say Pinchas got wealthy not because he married someone, but because his father married someone who was wealthy. And again, we're talking about Hasabas HaBen. And the same thing applies to Skuv and to Yoir. But says the Gemara, that final Skuv and Yoir, that must be a good raya, because otherwise, why would the Torah tell us the same thing twice, that a son yarshened his mother and became wealthy? And with this, we've concluded.
It was a historical narrative. That's all.
What you're asking is perfect. Let's see now what the Gemara is going to ask. Omale Rapapa Liabaya, Mimai, who said that Rabbi Shmuel is correct? Maybe Baal doesn't yarshin es ishtoi. Ukroi, all the five psukim are talking about Besibas HaBen, Kirishanina. The first three are Besibas HaBen to teach us an asay and two lavin. The Yoir dezavin mizbin, Upinchas nami dezavin mizbin. So this is similar to what you're asking, Brother Shai. Who said that you're telling us that the Torah is repeating? Who says we're talking about Yerusha? You know how people get wealthy in life? Not all people get wealthy because they, Baruch Hashem, are heirs of a large estate. Some people get wealthy because they actually work hard, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them tremendous siyata dishmaya, and then Baruch Hashem, they become wealthy because they invest wisely, and they're careful about their pennies and their nickels and dimes, and don't waste any money, and that's how they become very wealthy. Amachaya. I once read a story years ago about Ayid from the Haim that came from Europe and came to America penniless, and Baruch Hashem, you know, slowly but surely, he worked and he saved and this and that, and he was very, very, in English they would say stingy, but not stingy, he was careful about every penny. And his children would always make fun of him and say, ah, Tati, come on, you can splurge a little bit, you don't have to be so careful, da, da, da. And he would smile and he wouldn't say anything. Anyway, ultimately the children got married, and then they had to go and buy houses. They didn't have their own money. Tati comes with money. And then it comes to time for the closing. And they tell them the price is, let's throw out $100,000. And everybody expected that Tati would put down $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, and they take a mortgage, and he put down the full $100,000 on the table. Tati, where did you get all that money from? You don't have to take a mortgage? He says, Baruch Hashem, those nickels and dimes and pennies that you were always smiling at me and say, hey, you can splurge, you know? I didn't splurge. A penny saved is a penny earned, and year after year, Baruch Hashem, I left it in the bank, or I invested it conservatively. Baruch Hashem, the money has grown, and I'm able to pay for the entire house. So that's what an Al-Tayid from the Haim taught his children. A penny saved is a penny earned. So it's an important lesson for today's generation, not the people here on the phone, but in general. Anyway, so the Gemara is telling us, like Brother Shai asked, who said necessarily that this is, that we're repeating the story, and this is coming to tell you about a Sebes Abal and a Sebes Aben? Maybe the reason why both of these individuals, Pinchas and Yair, were wealthy is because they bought the properties, and their fathers did not have enough money to buy the properties, or maybe the father did, but he didn't buy any property. And Pinchas and Yair both went into real estate, and they bought properties, and Baruch Hashem, they had properties. Maybe it has nothing to do with Yerusha whatsoever. So how we're bringing rayas from these two psukim, I don't understand, Frank Dimar. The Yair Dezav Mizmit, Yair bought properties, and Pinchas bought properties. Amalei Pinchas Dezav Mizmit, Matzis Amris. Pinchas said he bought properties, and his father was buried in one of the properties that he bought. Dos Kominizong, that we cannot say. Why? Dimke Nimtis Sodachizeris, Beyoival, Nimtis Tzadik Kovar, Bekevish Enishalak. Remember in those days, Yoival was no Hague, and therefore if Pinchas bought a property from someone else, and then a year later his father passed away, they bury him there in the burial plot, and guess what happens? And then eventually Yoival happens, and then the property goes back to the original owner. And the original owner says, you know, I sold you a regular piece of property, now it's a Beis HaKvaris. I can't go and move the body. What's going on? That would be a Agantz Bizoyin. Even if you say you could move the property, it would be a Bizoyin, in other words, to move the body of Elozer from that property. It would be a Zoyin for Elozer to go and be Mefana, his Atzomois, go and be Mefana the body to another caver. So that can't be. So it must be talking about not through purchase, but through some sort of Yerusha. Says Yimar, no. We can say, Ella, Eimed Anofa Lemi Stei Charamim. Maybe it's talking about a Stei HaCherem. What means Stei HaCherem? There are two contexts that this could come up. There's first one pasuk that says in the parasha, in Parashas Koirach, Kol Cherem Bi Yisrael L'cho Yihia. What means Kol Cherem Bi Yisrael? If a person says, I am Machrim my property, not that I makdish it, I machrim my property. The pasuk says the whole year it goes to the kahan. Now, there's a machloikis in the Gemara, not here, but in Masechtas Erechin, with a stam charomim lekahanim or stam charomim lebedik habayis. But kuli alma moide, if you say beferish, I am machrim this property to the kahanim, then it goes to the kahanim. There's no question about that. So, could be the Yankel Smith, who loved Kohanim, decided, I want to do something for the Shevet HaKohuna, and he took some of his properties, and he was Machrim them. Which Kohanim get it? It's the Kohanim of that Mishmar. Okay, so maybe Pinchas was a member of that Mishmar, and he got that property, not through Yerusha, but through the mechanism of Stei HaCherem. And the Choyia, once you receive a Stei HaCherem, it belongs to the Kohen forever. It doesn't go back to anyone. So that's how Pinchas got these hills, which were used to bury Elazar. There's another context as well. We discussed that a couple of days ago. What happens if someone is makdish a stei achuza, and after that the gizbar comes to him and says, hey, Rabbit, would you like to be goel? Would you like to go and be poid and take back the stei achuza? And he says, no, I'm not interested. And the gizbar goes to everybody else, and finally he finds Yankel Smith, who wants to go and buy the Stei Achuza. Yankel Smith is not related. He's not a son, he's not a daughter, he's not a brother. Unrelated. So it says in the Pasuk that if Umocher Esasoda Li Ish Acher, if the Gizbar sells the property to someone else. Lo yigoel oid v'hoyasada b'teis v'yoyiv kodesh l'shem kistei achayrim. Now this formerly owned steachuza, former steachuza, which was muktosh, which was sanctified by the Baalim, does not go back to the family, but it goes to the Kahanim Kistei Acherim. Oh! And that's how Pinchas perhaps received the property. Having nothing to do with Yerushas HaBaal, having nothing to do with Yerushas HaBen, having nothing to do with buying it in the market, he received its Kistei Acherim. And what about Yoir and Tzeguv? Yoir was in fact a wealthy individual, and he bought properties, and slowly but surely accumulated until he had 23 cities. And therefore, bottom line, says the Gemara, all of these five psukim, one could interpret that it's talking about Yerushas HaBaal. However, you have no hechrach. There is nothing that mandates that it's talking about Yerushas HaBaal. The three first psukim can be talking about Asabas HaBen. The Pasik Legabe Pinchas could be talking about that he received it, Kistei HaChayrim. It could be that Yoir bought the 23 cities in the open market. No riot. And the Gemara stops there without any answer. And now we go to Amar Abaye. There are two interpretations of Amar Abaye. Rishbam brings a pirish from all the Rishonim that Abaye is trying to fe'enfer. He's trying to answer the kasha and trying to rehabilitate Reb Yishmael. However, Rishbam rejects that and says, nah, that cannot be the right pshat, and therefore Abaye is saying something brand new. And what is Abaye saying brand new? In other words, according to Rishbam, put two dots after Steach Ramim, and we finish now with our three rayas that we brought, that Abaal is Yoyresh Esishtre, the rayas of the first rayas that we started off with the two interpretations of Abaye and Rava, and now this third raya of Rabbi Shmuel, which the Gemara was doche and said it's not a concrete raya, and now we start a new sugya, Omer Abaye. Now what is that sugya? And Abaye asks a very, very good question. And it's related to the pasuk that we started off yesterday's daf. If you want to go back just for a moment to Kuf Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph, at the top of the Omud, where the Gemara brought a pasuk, we already quoted this pasuk today as well. V'chol bas yoyreshes nachla mimatois b'nei Yisrael. Heich bas yoyreshes shnei matois. It says a daughter who has yarshin the nachla from two matois, then she should only marry mati avia. And we said, how did she yarshin two matois? Elazush avia mishevet echad. She, her father was from Reuven. The ima and her mother was from Yishevet Acher, was from Shimon. Her mother, Shimon, in other words, from a Shimonit, she was from the Shimon Shevet. Her mother had a wealthy father. The father passed away. There were no other siblings except for this daughter, no other children. And she received a huge nachla from her father. Okay, and now Reuven, the Reuvenite, is married to this lady who was descended from Shimon, Umesu, and now both the husband and the wife, Rachmanu Litzlan, passed away. Could be they passed away 80 years later, 100 years later, but eventually they passed away. V'yarsha's son, and now the daughter yarshined both of them. She yarshined her father, who was from Reuven, and she also yarshined all the nechasim from her mother, who was from Shimon. So what did the Gemara bring from that? I see from this that a bas is a yoyreshes, and she yarshins from her mother. Okay, so that's the lesson learned in the pasuk. But how does the pasuk continue on? It says about that chol bas yoyreshes nachla mi matois b'nei Yisrael. She is now wealthy because she has a yerusha both from her father and from her mother. The echad mimishpachas mati avia tialiisha. She should only marry now to the mata of her father. Who is her father? From Reuven. She should go and marry someone from Reuven. So now Abaye says, what have we accomplished? If she already owns property, both from her father and mother, and her mother was from Shimon, so now by owning property from Shimon, if she now goes and marries into Reuven, someone from her shevet, from her father's side, that's not going to help, because all of the Shimonite property that she yarshin from her mother is now going to be transferred to the Reuven side, to her father's side. For that matter, Abaye is also implying L'chayu, she shouldn't be able to marry anybody, because if she's going to marry someone from the Shevet Shimon, which was her mother's side, guess what? Then all the Yerusha that we receive from her father, from Reuven, is now going to get transferred to the Shimon side. So she's really stuck, this young lady who has Yerushas from both her father and her mother, and her father and mother was a quote-unquote mixed marriage. You remember yesterday we even asked, how did the father and mother get married in the first place? How was the wife able to go and marry the husband? They're two different shvatim. And you remember we said yesterday, the Rashbam said, it's talking about that the kala, the woman, had a whole bunch of brothers. And therefore, if and when she were to go and pass away, the Yerusha would go fall to the brothers. Or for that matter, she had sons from a prior marriage. And so therefore, any Yerusha would fall to her sons. So you don't need to come on to that. Once again, Reuven married a girl from Shimon. That girl from Shimon had a father like Tzlofchad that had no other children other than the Benois Tzlofchad, or in this case, this girl that's getting married. Okay, so if she had no other siblings, she would not be able to go and get married, because then this Bas Shimon, since she's the only daughter, if and when her father passes away, Tzlofchad passes away, then any nachla that she received from her father, from Tzlofchad or from Shimon, that would go and transfer to either her husband or to her son, or for that matter to a daughter, and therefore would leave from her shevet and go to the other shevet. Don't do that. However, in this case, the mother, the kala, had a bunch of brothers, and so therefore, if and when Tzlofchad were to pass away, then the Yerusha would fall to the brothers and not to her. So that's why she was allowed to go and marry the Reubenite in the first place, because any potential Yerusha, which would fall later on and years later, wouldn't fall to her, would fall to her brothers. But yes, Ma'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu, unfortunately the brothers all passed away, they predeceased her, and now she's the only one left. And now Tzlofchad or her father passed away, the Yerusha falls to her. Now the Reubenite husband, together with she from Shimon, they eventually both passed away. And they had a daughter, and the daughter Yarshin from both of them, both from her father, from Reuven, and her mother, who was from Shimon. And now she's a wealthy lady. Says the Pasiv, Chol Yibas Yereshes Nachlami Matois B'nei Yisrael. She has a Yerusha from two Matois. Only marry into the father's Matah, marry a Reubenite, not a Shimonite. Frank Tabaya, what have we accomplished by marrying a Reubenite? Since she owns Yerusha from both Reuven and Shimon, whatever she owns from Shimon is now going to be transferred eventually to her husband or to her son from the Reubenite Shevet. So what have we accomplished? So back to the Gemara. Zogt Abaye. Kuf Yud Beis Omer Aleph. Omer Abaye bet 12 lines from the bottom. Amr Abaye soif, Hakimis Akra Nachla Mishifta the Imal Shifta the Abba. Even if we're very scrupulous that this daughter should only marry into her father's family, since she is already Yereshes Nachla Mimatois, she already has a half of her wealth comes from her father, half of her wealth comes from her mother, and her mother was from the Shevet of Shimon, it's all going to be transferred now to the Shevet of her father. And therefore, why does the Torah say only marry into the mat of the father? That's not going to accomplish anything. Because soif, if and when she marries into the mat of her father, she is schlepping with her nachla from her mother's side, from Shimon. So now it's being this akrim nachla mishevet l'shevet, from the shevet im l'shevet to the abba. So Timura, I don't understand Abaye's kasha, we might. Dilmashani Hosim Shikvar Huzba. Maybe the reason why that's permissible is because it's already le'achar hamaisa. It's already too late. What do we mean by that? Because the young girl who is half Reuven and half Shimon, because her father was from Reuven and her mother was from Shimon, what status does she have in the registry of the Shvatim? She goes after her father, Mishpachas Av Kari Mishpacha, so she is a Reubenite. So therefore, whatever she owns from her mother, from Shimon, has already passed to her, and now she, being a Reubenite because of her father, whatever happened, happened. It's already too late. She now owns property, both her father and from her mother. So the reason why she's allowed to go and marry another Reuveni, somebody from Reuven, because her marriage is not transferring anything. It was already transferred by the fact that her parents died and left Yerushas for her. So whatever she owns from the Shevet Shimon, she already owns it, already transferred from the Shimon Shevet to the Reuven Shevet, because she is called a Reubenite because of the fact that her father was from Reuven. So says Gemara, Domeshani Hasu Shikvar Huzba. Since it's already transferred to the Reuven Mishpacha, that's why we say, stay with the Mati Av, stay with the Reuven Mishpacha. Amalei. I'm sorry?
This is the first year of Kibush Haaretz, or what are we talking about? This is talking about after the 7 years of Kibush Haaretz, where you had the 1 year prohibition that kicked in.
It wasn't a 1 year prohibition, it was a one generational prohibition. So we're talking in that first generation when a girl who had a Nachla and she was from one Shevet, she's not allowed to go marry into another Shevet because that Nachla would transfer from her to the other Shevet. So, for instance, Benoy Slavchad, who received the chelik of their father Ba'aretz, because their father Slavchad was entitled to a chelik, and when he passed away, he left no sons, and all of his nechasim went to the five daughters. So the pasuk says, "You five daughters don't marry out of the shevet, because then the nachla is going to transfer from you, either to your husbands, or that's if you hold Yerushas HaBaal." Or even if it doesn't pass to the husband, it's going to pass to the children. And the children are the children from the other Shevet, because everybody, the legacy or a person's heritage and a person's lineage goes after the Mishpacha Sa'av. So the Torah says, L'sisum nachla mimata l'mata akher. So if you happen to be one of the Bnei Slavchad, stay within the Shevet, don't marry outside the Shevet.
How did her mother marry out?
How did who? Which mother?
This young girl's mother. How did she marry
Reuven? So you're talking about in our Gemara now.
Yeah.
How did that happen in the first place? Because that's a very good kasha, and the Rishbam asked that kasha yesterday. And the Rishbam says, we're talking about a situation where this kala was not expected to receive any nachla from her mother's side.
Because she had brothers,
exactly. And anything that would come from her parents, from her father, from her mother, would all go to the brothers. It wouldn't come to her.
So you
have to allow people to marry. Anyway, so bottom line, the Gemara said that's why she was allowed to go and marry initially. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar, all the brothers passed away, and then Nebuchadnezzar, her father, passed away, leaving Yerusha for her. And now, the husband and wife, he has his nechasim, she has her nechasim from her father. They, Baruch Hashem, give birth to a baby girl, lovely, lovely young lady. And this lovely young lady, now, when her parents pass away, is now wealthy, because she has nechasim from her father, and she has nechasim from her mother. Chasim both from both sides. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Zokti Yemariyetz says the Pasuk, a girl like that, Chobas Yeresh Nachla Mimatois, from two Matas, she should only marry the Mate of her father, which would be from Reuven. So Freit Yemara says, Abaya, what have we accomplished? After all, since half of her Nechasim are already from her mother's side, when she goes and marries someone from Reuven, all of the half of those Nechasim are going to be transferred to Reuven. Or, if you don't hold the Yerushas HaBaal min HaTorah, it's going to go to the son of Reuven, or the daughter of this marriage. So, bottom line, it's going to be Musaf. So, says Abaye, what have we accomplished? And what the Chacham said to Abaye, Abaye, I don't understand your kasha. Shani hocha de kvar huzba. Why is kvar huzba? By the fact that she already received the Arusha from both her father and her mother. And because if she's considered to be from the Shevet Reuven like her father, so it's already transferred from Shimon to her, and she is a Reubenite, just by the fact that she yarshin from her parents. Zokti Yamara, Omalei, he, Abaye says, Kvar Huzba lo yamrinan. I don't believe in that Svar of Kvar Huzba, and therefore that's why I'm asking, when she wants to marry now into the Shevet of her father, we haven't accomplished a blessed thing, because of the fact that half of her estate, half of her nechasim, came from Shimon originally. I don't understand what Abaye is saying that we don't hold of Shekvar Huzba. Because Iyamri b'shloim Shekvar Huzba, haim metoik mekra, bein mesibas haben, bein mesibas habal. If you're going to go and tell me that we don't have to worry about the fact that she already received Yerusha from her mother's side, from the Shevet Shimon, and therefore the Torah is now being makbid, don't marry anybody but the Reubenites, because the Torah is concerned if she's going to marry Don, Usher, God, or even Shimon, you know what's going to happen? Then the Yerusha that she has from her father is going to go to the wrong Shevet. Or, in the case that she's marrying Reuven, if she's going to take over any Yerusha from her mother, from Shimon, it's going to go to the wrong Shevet, to Reuven. How is it going to go to the wrong Shevet? Either through the marriage. If she dies, the husband will yarshin her, that's a subas baal. Or, if you hold that a baal doesn't yarshin in a Torah, so when the baal dies, and when she dies, then it's going to go to their child, to the man. So in either case, don't I have a problem that it's going to go mishevet to shevet? Eli yamris like amrin shekvar huzba, ki mintzva li echem mishpachas mat yavia, may hava. Hamis akra nachla mishivta to ima lishivta di abba. What the Gemara is doing is the Gemara is repeating once again Abaye's quandary. What have we accomplished by telling this young lady who has nechosim from both Reuven and Shimon only marry someone from Reuven because we don't want hasevis nachla mishevet l'shevet? How is that going to help? After all, she already owns half of their estate from Shimon, so it will transfer by marrying Reuven. What have we accomplished? So Elamai, L'chayr, we have to go and say, Shekvar Huzba. Kvar Huzba means the damage has already been done by the fact that her parents got married and they both passed away and left Yerusha for her. Then the Nachla that she received from her mother, who was from Shimon, has already transferred to Reuven's side. How? By the fact that she has the din now of a Reubenite, because her father was from Reuven. So that's why she's allowed to go marry Mati Avia, because nothing changes now. Whatever she owns is now Mati Reuven, Kvar Huzba. If and when she marries someone from Reuven, either it'll go to her husband or to her son, and it stays within the Reubenite family. But if you're going to go and tell me, no, you don't hold of Kvar Huzba, and therefore she is still retaining 50% from Shimon, from her mother. Now when she marries someone from Reuven, then even by marrying Reuven, I haven't accomplished anything. Quite to the contrary. She's being oiver on being massive on taking property that she received from her mother, from Shimon, and now transferring it to the Reuven side by marrying a Reubenite. So what have we accomplished? Is L'chayra, Kvar Huzba is a valid reason why she's allowed to go and marry someone from her Shevet. Says in Gemara, Abaye, when he says, I don't care about Kvar Huzba, he holds that there is an Eitzah after all. What is the Eitzah? This young lady, 50% of her fortune comes from her father, 50% of her estate comes from her mother. Whoever she's going to go and marry is going to be a problem. If she marries the Reubenites, then she's going to transfer the Shimon property. If she's going to marry a Shimonite, she's going to go and transfer the Reuven property. What can we do? Says Abaye, there's an Eitzah. Demitzavina lo legavra davui mishifta diavua veime mishifta diima. She should go and marry someone who is her mirror image. just like she came from an intermarriage of Reuven and Shimon, she should marry a chosin who happens to be the son of Reuven and Shimon. Says Abaya, that's the only Eitza that we shouldn't have to worry about Leisis of Nachla, because her husband embodies the same legacy that she does. Also, his father is from Reuven, and his mother is from Shimon, and he marries a Kala, whose father was from Reuven, and the mother was from Shimon. So therefore, there's no Hesebes Nachla from Shevet to Shevet, because he is identical to her. Frayti Gemara, he hochi highly echan mi mishpachas mati ovia ve'imo mi boyle. If that's how Abai is interpreting the pasuk, then it shouldn't go and say b'chol bas yereshes nachla, she should go marry mati ovia. It should say mi echan mi mishpachas mati ovia ve'imo mi boyle. She should be very, very careful. She has to go to shadchanim and say to shadchan, because of my financial situation, you have to find a shidduch for me, a husband who's exactly the same as me. That he happens to be halfway from Reuven and halfway from Shimon. So why does the Torah say the echem mishbachas mati avia? It should say mati avia v'imma mibayle. So I'll tell you why. If it say avia v'imma have a mina fila ipcha, I would think that maybe the other way around too. What means the other way around too? That she, her father, is from Reuven, and her mother was from Shimon. Maybe she's allowed to go and marry a chosan, which is the opposite. That the father was from Shimon, and the mother was from Reuven. Because the important thing is, mishpachas mati avia v'ima mi boyele, that she's marrying someone that is also a product of an intermarriage between Reuven and Shimon. Even though it's not Mr. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon, it's Mr. Shimon and Mrs. Reuven, but maybe that's also good. So I would think. That's why ihochi iksev hochi avemina fili ipcha kamash malon. That's why the pasuk says just avia. Then you understand automatically that the chosin has to be from the same shevet Reuven, and the mother will also be from the same shevet Shimon. So therefore, that's how Abaya finds the only resolution of this quandary, the quandary of a bas that already has nachleis from both father and mother, one from Reuven, one from Shimon. What do we do to avoid having the nachla transfer from one shevet to the other? Marry a husband that has that same legacy that he has. He is from Reuven, from the father's side, and Shimon from the mother's side. But as you saw, the other Amoiroim disagreed with Abai and said, that's really not necessary, because Kfar Huzba, whatever happened, the damage has already been done, because the Shimon property is already transferred to Reuven through her, since she has the halachic status of someone from Reuven. And with this, we have concluded that shtickle, and now we have a very, very simple Gemara. Yes, sir.
So we had with Rabbi Shmuel, we had one lav, two lav, and lav to say. So was this just what Rabbi Slavka, or for the other sentence? Was there a lav to say at the end? Did we say that we? It wasn't just that you shouldn't do it. Actually, you're over on. It's one of the Tariag. It's one of the.
It was at that time. It's not no longer, because it was only one generation. But at that time, they would have been over a loisesa of loisis of nachla, mimata lamata, as well as it would have been over nasei, the chobas yerishas nachla, the elchem yimishbachas beisavia, tiel the isha, you have to marry someone in your own shevet. If you move out of the shevet, you are over nasei, and you're over the lav of loisis of nachla.
But we had those other shukim, they piled out another lav.
So the way the Gemara was doicha Rabbi Shmuel was, maybe we're not talking about the sebas Habal, we're talking about Besebes Haben. And why do you have multiple psukim? The multiple psukim is to go and tell you that the Hasabas Nachla will not be from wife to husband, it'll be from wife to her child. Because her husband and the child are from the other Shevet. So therefore, when the Bnei Slavchet from their Shevet marries someone from another Shevet, either the union, the marriage, will cause the Hasabas Nachla. Or if you hold that there's no din of Yerushas Habal only Yerushas HaChildren, the Ben or Bas, so then there'll be that Sigas Nachla. Not at the time of the marriage, but at the time that they have a child, and they Chas V'Sholem pass away, and then Tzlofchad's Nechasim are going to transfer from them to the child. Okay? So that's why we tell them at the outset, you Benoy Tzlofchad, don't marry outside of your Shechet, because eventually what's going to happen is, then your Yerusha is going to go either to your husband or to your children from another Shevet, and you'll be over this Isser of Loisis of Nachla. So if they do get married and they violate it, we give them 39 patch. You're over the Isser of Loisis of Nachla Mimata Lamata. Okay?
We don't say there's extra patch.
And anytime you're over in two Lavin, you get two Malkas and you only get one.
Well, I guess I have to think about the Orla Bishnei Lavin when they say the Orla Bishnei Lavin.
I think if you're even two Lavin, that you do get two times Malkus, but Miat Hashem, we're going to head soon to Masechtas Sanhedrin and Masechtas Malkus, where we're going to deal with those topics at great length. Miat Hashem. Okay? Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now. Our Gemara now tells us that I have two brises, and the two brises go and focus on two psukim. The two psukim are almost identical, and they are removed from one another by one pasuk. If you have the Torah or a Shalem, you can see both psukim, and you see that the structure of the pasuk starts off exactly the same way. It's kapitel lamed vav, or perik lamed vav, pasuk zayin, v'loisisav nachle v'nei Yisrael mimata el mata, ki ish v'nachles mati avoisav, yidku b'nei Yisrael. So that's one pasuk. Now skip a pasuk, go to pasuk tes, v'loisisav nachle mimata lamata acher, ki ish v'nachlose yidbiku matas b'nei Yisrael. So you see both psukim say, v'loisisav, don't allow for property to transfer from mata to mata, because we want it to be nachla and mata purity. We want every mata to retain its nachlois, and not everything starts going helter-skelter from mata to mata. What do I need two psukim for? Says the Gemara, says we're going to have two brises, and both brises are going to say the same thing. And that is that one pasuk is talking about Hesebes HaBaal, and one's talking about Hesebes HaBen. Hesebes HaBaal means as a result of marriage, then, already then, the property will transfer from the wife to the husband, and boom, you already have Loisisam Nachla. And the second Loisisam Nachla is, even if the husband predeceases the wife, and therefore the husband never yarshins from the wife, however, the Yerusha is going to fall to the kids. And the kids are from the other Shevet, so you're going to have a Hasabas HaBen, even besides the Hasabas HaBaal. Tanya, third line from the top. Tanya Besibas HaBen, but Tanya Besibas HaBaal. Although it sounds like that there's a machloikis between the two brises, as you'll see, both brises say exactly the same thing, but in reverse order. So let's go to the first price. Tani b'sibes haben. B'loisisam nachla b'nei Yisrael mimata el mata b'sibes haben akosam medaber. The concern of the pasuk is, don't marry outside your shevet, because the Yerusha of the woman is eventually going to go to the son who is from the other shevet, because if her husband is from another shevet, the son will be from that other shevet. And therefore the Torah says, don't do it, because the Shimonite nechasim and chelik are going to go over to the Reuven side through the son. Maybe it's not because of the son, maybe it's because of the marriage to the husband. Then it's going to go over because the Baal Yoirish is Ishtoi. Says Yimara, fine. If you're going to tell me that Sumat Sibis a Baal, Kishu Oima have another Pasik. Or Omur. Now Pasik about Sibis a Baal. Of course, based on the Gemara on the Amud Aleph, the Gemara could ask, maybe no. Maybe they're both talking about Tzibes HaBen. Maybe they're both talking about Tzibes HaBaal. And they're going to tell us two lavin, like we just discussed a minute ago. But that's not how the Tana of this Braisa learns. He's learning that it's not for the purpose of piling on lavin, but rather to tell us two separate halachas. And the Rishbam reminds us that as a general rule, we try not to go and pile on two, three, four, five lavin on one maisa, but rather we try to go and split it up to two different types of lavin. So this is a lava sibas aben, this is a lava sibas abal, because to say that both of them are talking about sibas aben, or both sibas abal, why should we do that? That's a court of last resort. When I have no other choice, I say both of them are on the same maisa of marriage, both two lavin with a sibas aben, or two lavin sibas abal. But I prefer not doing that. So therefore, one pasuk is talking about ben, one is talking about baal. So now that we've concluded the first brisa, which one was which? Notice on the last line, says the Gemara, Umani Mekayim V'loi Sis of Nachla, that was the first pasuk that we brought, that's talking about Besibas HaBen. Ah, so the Loi Sis of Nachla, pasuk number Aleph, that's the pasuk from Perik Lamed Vav, pasuk Zayin, is talking about Besibas HaBen. The second pasuk, Loi Sis of Nachla, Matel Matel Acha, that's talking about Besibas HaBen. Now we have a second brisa, and that second brisa is the same as the first brisa, except that it goes in reverse order. Tani idach loisisum nachl mimata lamata acher. That's the second pasuk. That's the pasuk from pasuk Tes. That's masibas abal akasam adav. That's what masibas abal, which is what the brisa taka said. The first brisa said. It says the gemara masibas akasam adav. Atay masibas abal any al masibas aben. That was the Pasuk Zion Pasuk, which was the first Pasuk of the earlier Brisa. How do you say this? And Ben Akosim Medaber. Omer. Amani Mekasim Lesisa Nachle Matel Matel. Hagam Esim Zabal Akosim Medaber. So bottom line is, both Brises quote both Psukim. Both Brises hold that the first Pasuk, Lesisa Nachle Bnei Yisrael Matel Matel, is talking about Mesibas HaBen. Both prices hold that the second pasuk, v'leisisim nachmi matel matel acher, is talking about tzibas ha'abal. They both came to that conclusion. However, the second price did it in reverse, by first focusing on the second pasuk and say, well, that pasuk is certainly about the tzibas ha'abal. So what do I do with the first pasuk? That's talking about tzibas ha'abal, which is exactly the conclusion of the first price. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to explore, why do I automatically assume that pasuk number 2 is Besibas HaBaal, and then therefore say that the first pasuk is talking about Besibas HaBen? Maybe it's the reverse. So that mitzvah we're going to focus on tomorrow. In the meantime, Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful day.